Romans 8, starting with verse 18, and I'm going to go through 30 with no guarantee that I'm going to get that far, but we'll see where we get to. And I've got the ESV in front of me. For I consider that the sufferings of the present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called, and those whom he called, he also justified, and those whom he justified, he also glorified. Okay. So, if I can take your memories back a little bit, we got through with verses 12 through 17, and Paul was talking about how it's so much better to be of the Spirit than of the body, and how we need to put to death the deeds of the body, and all that. Now he's, what's the word I'm looking for? Changing gears, and is now getting to part of the reward of this. If we put to death the deeds of the body, and go for what the Spirit wants. And he starts with verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. So after considering what it means to put to death the deeds of the body, Paul's now changing these gears. And he says, for I consider the sufferings of the present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to come. Okay, what sufferings is he talking about? No hablé inglés. Do what? Cross. Well, the cross, yep.
Imprisonment.
Whippings. Sorry?
Whippings.
Floggings. What was Paul's list? Shipwreck once, beaten for 40 minus one. How many times? Like four, five, three? I forget the list, but he goes through a whole list of all of his sufferings. How many apostles got to die in their bed? Just one. And it wasn't for lack of trying. Yeah, it wasn't for lack of trying. They tried. He was exiled.
But, right.
The one who lived, John, the one who lived until he died of natural causes, we'll call it. I mean, they tarred and feathered him. I mean, they tried to kill him. The other 11 died of several different ways, according to church history. I mean, Peter was crucified upside down. Paul was beheaded.
I think that dividing these into two separate sections does an injustice to the section of Scripture here. Because verse 17 is not what we've made it to be in the church. And it's like if you go back to what Paul probably meant, especially based on the rest of it, you're looking at a section of Scripture that follows up a verse about being joint heirs with Christ that's in the same vein as what Christ said, the world will hate you because it hated me first. In reality. But instead, it's like, oh, we're joint heirs with Christ. We're joint heirs in the inheritance, and we skip the suffering part.
Right. Well, and that's the thing about the last few verses. We talked about how Paul was going through sanctification and all that. Now he's working toward glorification. He's working toward glorification, which he'll get to when we get to verse 28 through 30, when we talk about the golden chain. But we'll get to that.
Verse 17, he practically says you have to suffer to be an heir.
Oh yeah. Well, okay. Has anyone here lived a life of complete happiness? Please raise your hand. And if you have, please give me a book. Give me advice. Give me something.
Attitude is a choice.
Let me paint another scenario to you, and this is one that's been on my mind a lot lately. Say you're doing your absolute best. You're doing absolute best to do everything right. I mean, of course, you're going to fail. That's not the point here, but follow the analogy. You're doing everything to the best of your ability. And then something horrible happens. Insert bad scenario here. Pick your own. Pick your poison. How many times does that happen?
True. Are we talking about the why do bad things happen to good people conversation?
You know, I'm not going to call it that because there's no such thing as a good person. I mean, I'm not a good person.
Well, I mean, it's like a sermon I preached that one Sunday that said that bad things happen to all people.
But, I mean, at the same time, like, I've seen it. I've seen people, I mean, they've come to me. Good example. Had a guy in recruit training when I was in Paris Island. He came up to me and said, Blake, I used to be a partier. I used to do all this stuff. But you know what? Now, thanks to you, he said thanks to me, which was bogus. But anyways. Thanks to you and thanks to going to chapel and whatnot, I've decided I want to be a Christian. I want to get baptized. I'm sitting there thinking, this is great. This is awesome. I remember writing the letter and sending it to mom so she could let people know. I was so excited. And then he got his girlfriend to go on the same ideal with him. Like, she became a Christian too. I was like, this is awesome. She stuck with it. He turned around and cheated on her. So how in the world was she supposed to take that, you wonder? Truth be told, I don't know the end of that story, unfortunately. But.
But you do because you see it around you every day.
Well, that particular story.
Right, but, I mean, it's signs of maturity. And, unfortunately, some people never get past the middle.
And that was a light example. I mean, we could probably think of any one of a thousand terrible scenarios. I mean, you did that sermon too. You pray and pray and pray, and they still die.
Right, it's like Miss Evelyn.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I know for a fact that there were people praying she would get better.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all a matter of perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think one of the most beautiful things I've seen is what Maddie Daniels put on Facebook after her mama passed away. Because at that moment, a child has a chance and an opportunity to go one way or another. I mean, mm-hmm. I remember when Dad passed. You know, I remember when Mom passed. And I remember that you either blame God or you thank God. And to see that mindset, but if somebody is not... Yes, you're suffering, but if you're mentally not where that's at, and I know it's a completely different thing, but it's in a... I mean, someone as young as Jada that people have been praying for 2-3 years, but to talk to Jada, her mind was made up that whatever happened was a blessing because God was going to, you know, and then to see that carry over into her children... When she passed away, and, you know, Maddie's like, I know you received the healing that you were praying for. Like, that is where we lose sight of things. And that's what I think, if we look at what Paul's saying here, I really think it's a matter of perspective. You can take it one way or another. I mean, we can... I don't know what happened to him that forced him into that situation where he did that. But, you know, for her, I can look back on former relationships and situations I've been in where I'm going, obviously that happened because, you know, that's not what God had planned for me and he needed me to see it. But...
I'm sorry. That was still the funniest story you ever told.
Which one?
Lord, give me a sign, Rex Carr.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it happened.
I believe you. That's what made it funny. But, and the thing is, if you show me, if someone comes up to me and says, I have never suffered in any way, shape, or form, I mean, mentally, emotionally, physically, whatever, if you come up to me and you tell me that, I will have to call you a liar. Either that or you're a robot.
Right.
Who just has no emotion. And so, we all go through this, and it makes us ask questions, it makes us wonder. And Paul tells us that even though we go through all that, it's not even worth comparing. Notice his wording here. Not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. It's not even worth thinking about by comparison. And you know, this is easy to say. It's easy to sit here and say, well, you know, this is great and all, putting it into practice is obviously going to be harder. But at the end of the day, we have to realize, no matter what we go through, are you looking up in King James? That's fine. Go for it.
You know where I'm going.
Yep. I know where you're going. But anyways, it's not worth comparing with the glory that's going to be revealed to us. And he goes on to verse 19, for creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. Okay, what is the glory that's going to be revealed to us?
My question is, what's the Greek word?
Which one?
Is it two or n?
Ah, that's a good question.
Because the King James says n. What's your question? 18, the end of it. I know the ESV says 2.
That's a good catch, Philip. The Greek word is S, which means N. N and 2 are among.
So, why would it be different in translation? Throw the ESV out. Let's go back to the space.
Right. I guess in context, the translators might have used to us because Paul is still talking to Christians here.
Right. I mean, it does say among as a translation.
Right. So. Either way, okay, so that is the more accurate translation. You're right about that. To be revealed in us. Thank you for catching that. So that's it. That's an even more profound statement. Not only is the glory going to be revealed, it's going to be revealed in us who are the children of God.
Well, I've got a commentary here that says, "Not it shall be revealed in us, not only revealed to us to be seen, but revealed in us to be enjoyed."
Mm-hmm. So. And like I said, we all have that moment in our lives where you hit rock bottom and then suddenly everything just changes. That is the moment where things are revealed in you and things change.
Does this go back to a lot of the conversation about the Holy Spirit and the kingdom of God?
He's getting to that. That's coming.
Right, but the reason yes, I ask but, is because the king, I mean, the statement of the kingdom of God is within you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, this is kind of the same mentality, right?
Well, so, I mean, yeah. because to the ones who were saved, once that moment, once that, here's a good way to tell who either has been, I hesitate to say this, because some people don't have very good memories. But one general way you can look at this. If someone has been saved, they can point to a time. Maybe they may not know the exact day, they may not know the exact hour, but they can point to a time when they hit rock bottom. Not necessarily where they live so horribly that they put themselves there. That may be the case too. But when God opened up their eyes and said, "This is what you are without me. And this is what you're going to be." And yes, putting the kingdom of God in them. The Holy Spirit coming into them. So, in a roundabout way, the answer to your question is yes.
I mean, he's here talking about the glory.
Mm-hmm.
Which is infinite. That will be revealed in us.
Mm-hmm.
And that the suffering that we go through, again, the perspective, we can focus on the suffering, or we can focus on the glory that will come.
Mm-hmm.
And that's goes back to what I was saying earlier, is the perspective.
Yeah.
That if we choose that attitude of focusing on the glory rather than the suffering, then the suffering doesn't seem so bad.
Well, there's also the fact where, I mean, once the Holy Spirit comes into you and all that, it becomes so much easier. Because I know in my case, it was so easy just to focus on the bad. I mean, it was beyond easy. It was always there. "Hello, darkness, my old friend," as the song goes. And it was easy. But then once the Spirit did its, once God played His role and woke me up from all that, it became a lot easier to focus on the good things. Are the bad things still there? Yes, of course. Do I still get nightmares? Occasionally. But it's still easier. Because now I'm not doing it alone. But creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. Okay. I will give, I've got three cards in my wallet that has money on them. I'll give all three of them to the person who can tell me when that is. Thank you for being honest. Nobody knows exactly when that will be, but what do we know about this? About the revealing of the sons of God? Two things you can infer from it. Right, Judgment Day. And there are two things about that. Number one, it shows that we have no idea who it is right now. I mean, I said there's little general tests that you can do, and yes, you can have assurance and all that. But me personally, I cannot walk up to someone on the street and say this person is or is not saved. I cannot do that. Mm-hmm. And that's going to play a role as we go on through all this. But I cannot walk up to someone and say that they have been chosen by God or not. I have no authority to do that. I have no right to do that. But what we can do is walk up to everyone and minister them equally, minister to them with the full ability of our that God has given us, because you might be the one that God uses to bring them to Him. And when the day comes, when that day the creation is waiting for, then maybe they'll be revealed alongside us. Joe, you have a thought. Okay. Darn it, I really wanted to try and get 20 and 21 tonight, but that's so full of stuff. I'm going to wait because I'm running out of clock. No. Well, I got to get home and get something in my stomach and then go to work. So
Sunday we were here till 7:30 or something.
I mean
it's like right.
And I deleted the recording, so
Yeah, creation is waiting with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. And that revealing, I mean, the sons and daughters of God, they'll all have that glory that's been revealed in them. And, you know, once we're able to see that glory in us, as Paul mentioned, the sufferings we've been through won't even compare. Yes.
It would just confuse everyone.
Well, you don't think I've muddied the water enough by this point?
But me really.
Okay.
Continue. I'll ask you later.
Okay. Well, that's where we'll stop for now. Next time we'll pick up with verse 20. And I just want y'all to think about these next two verses because they're rich in content. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom that is the glory of the children of God. So, next time we're together, we'll start with those verses. Any questions, comments, concerns, thoughts, complaints? Okay. Well, you think I'd have this memorized by now, but I still don't, unfortunately. Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith, to the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen.